theaters.
Film Festival is now accepting submissions from all movie genres. This is your chance to see your feature, short, music video, web series, or trailer playing at the Dos Lagos Luxury 15 Theater in Corona, California during the first annual Kapow Intergalactic Film Festival, October 6th through 9th, with a portion of the proceeds benefiting the Wayne Foundation. Visit KapowIFF.com for more information on how to submit your project. That's KapowIFF.com.
I assume the Kurds had called me with you. Yes, I did know Andy Kaufman very vaguely in the mid-60s when he and I were both working out of a club called The Improv in New York. He didn't ever talk to anyone. He just would do his act and disappear again in a very large automobile which you would drive out to Long Island. He was very much a private person.
Ladies and gentlemen, creatures and other mythical beings, we are here in the K-Chung Studios, live from Chinatown, and this episode is called Morph, and we have some very interesting things coming up. Today is going to be very Andy Kaufman-esque, if you will. So, what we have here in the studio, we have Nicholas, once again, our fantastic stage manager who is at the helm, keeping us on. Hopefully, if you're listening to this right now, either you're holding a boombox about a block away and tuned into this AM station, or you're actually listening to it live streaming on the radio. Now, the cool thing is, you just heard that Kapow ad. I've been helping put together this film festival for the past 8 months. I've been trying to help organize this thing. So it's going on October 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th. And it's crazy that it's right around the corner. Never did I realize how many little intricate things would be involved with trying to put together a film festival. The other thing you heard there was Sheldon Patinkin. He is he's my mentor from Columbia College. He was one of the original Compass players and basically inventor of improvisation as we know it. He taught me everything I know about improvisation, ensemble work, yes and it's a truly magical experience when you're able to actually be involved with something like that, because I think like mostly we come across folks who are very competitive and they try to rather than building something with you, they try to like smack you down and go, oh, no, this is the funnier thing, instead of just taking what you gave them and then making something with it and you two kind of sharing this reality together. But, yeah, Sheldon Patinkin, that was him. He was talking about meeting Andy Kaufman, because I called him up a long time ago and I left a message on his machine. I said, Sheldon, I know you've been involved with all these Second City people and all these, you know, all these very interesting people throughout the years. Have you ever met Andy Kaufman? And so that was his response on my answer machine. So that's what you heard right there. And, of course, you heard my grandma doing the Inspirato Projecto radio spot. So, this is what I wanted to say. I have Alexandra Tatarsky here in the studio. It's so amazing. As you know, or may not know, I absolutely love synchronicities, serendipities, coincidences, all that magic that happens out there in the universe. And the fact that the stars aligned to have Alexandra here in town during this time, if I don't make it through the show, it means I spontaneously combusted. Also, ideally, we'll have Jack Bristow on Skype at some point. So, we'll see what happens with that. So, Alexandra, how long are you out here for, from New York?
I'm just here for a couple of days. Some weirdos that I met through my dad paid for me to come out here and kind of have a sob session with them because, you know, they all think he's dead, so they're all sad. And so I'm going around town seeing places that he used to hang out at and perform at, and also doing some of my own shows while I'm out here for a few days. And then, you know, because I'm actually a Russian scholar, I'm going to give a mime talk at a translation conference in Northern California in a few days.
That's incredible. I was just reading your blog where you were talking about all the different authors, all those Russian authors. Mm-hmm. You're a good writer, actually. Do you have any books planned?
Yeah, I have many, many books planned.
Yeah? What's the first title?
Mime Talks, probably.
Ooh, that sounds good. Will there be any mime haikus in there? Any of that kind of razzmatazz?
No haikus, no, because when you get a mime talking, they actually have so much to say. Mm. It's not like a five-syllable, seven-syllable, five-syllable thing. It's just sort of like the internal monologue of the mime when it's unleashed.
It makes sense.
It's a whole book. And it's
been
haikus.
Held back for so long, so when mm-hmm. it comes through, it's like a freaking Niagara Falls, right?
Mm-hmm,
I should have expected that.
Yeah, it's a misconception. One of my missions in life is to go around correcting this mime misconception. There's a lot of prejudice against the mime.
There is.
We need more mime time, mime mind, as I like to say, ooh, in today's world.
I like it. My buddies were in a band called Mimes. We have Lindsay right here in the studio. I know. The hallway is it's like a labyrinth going up that thing. You could grab one of those chairs. Let's see. There's another microphone in here, right, Nicholas? Do we have another microphone? Or are they going to have to share that one? Okay, gotcha. Hey. Thank you so much for coming up here.
Sure.
This is Alexandra. Alexandra, this is Lindsay.
Hello. A profound pleasure and an honor.
She's a phenomenal performance artist. I know you do comedy. I saw some of your short films and stuff. Lindsay, what... I asked you to come in here today, Lindsay, because I heard you on a podcast and you were talking about your fascination with Andy Kaufman. Today's episode is fully, like, just going to be completely Andy Kaufman.
That is amazing.
So, I wanted to ask you...
Thank you.
How you actually first got involved with Andy Kaufman stuff. Like, how'd you actually, what first interested you?
I think because I'm a bit younger than Andy's generation, so I would say seeing Jim Carrey in Man on the Moon was, like, my first full-on introduction to him.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little aware of him before that, but not as deeply nerding out about him until I saw Jim Carrey play him. Yeah.
So then after that, what was the very next step? Like, because at the end, you know, it leaves this idea that possibly he faked his death, right? Because you
yeah,
see
definitely.
Tony Clifton up on stage and it pans over and then there's Bob Zmuda.
Yeah.
So, because in the movie, they don't actually come out and say it. You know, they only allude to it. He only alludes to it once where he goes, oh, any, you know, short of faking my death. Like, that's the only little tiny little giblet he puts in there.
Yeah.
So there really isn't anything other besides that. So when you saw that movie, what was it that first, like, made you think that he even faked his death?
I think it was probably more when I researched him more and just realized that he was such a performance artist in general, that he, like, that was his whole bag, that he didn't take anything super seriously and, you know, forced people to drink milk and eat cookies with him and and played these wacky characters. And when I kind of, like, more deeply, like, just researched his performance, I was like, oh, yeah, this guy is capable of doing that. Yeah.
So, did that immediately lead you to Bob's book?
No, I think, like, it just progressed. Like, I definitely saw that film before I moved to L.A., and then I moved to L.A. and got involved in UCB and I.O. and improv and all that stuff, and I think just as I just became a bigger comedy nerd, I just became more fascinated with Andy in general. Yeah.
How does his determination in committing to a character, how does that influence you and what you do up on stage?
Oh my gosh, it's so impressive. I don't think I go that level. My goals have slightly shifted. Like, now I'm more of a filmmaker than I am a performer. But I just admire people who can commit at that level. And I feel like Charlene Yee in LA is, like, one of those people that just kind of, like, goes to interesting places and does not necessarily mind if the audience is fully on board. Josh Fadem is, like, another LA performer that's very similar, that, like, he sometimes is like not checking in with the audience. It's more like, I'm going to go on this journey and you're with me or you're not with me. And I'm just so impressed by people like that who are not affected or necessarily feeding off the audience to achieve something. I think that's like an amazing ability that I don't necessarily have, but I would love to work with people like that and put them on film. I think it's awesome.
You just sit next to one, actually. She's
amazing.
She's any review I've ever read about her shows, ideally I'll be able to catch one of your shows whenever you happen to be out here. Did you so can you scoot this over
sure.
real quick? Okay, so did you happen... Have you been following any of the Andy Kaufman Awards? Have you seen any of that stuff, the news and all that jazz?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I'm still asking you questions.
It's okay. I have seen them before.
So,
not necessarily the most recent one, but yeah.
Did you see anything in the news, anything strange about...
Super recently? Or?
Well, no, maybe a year or so ago.
I mean, the third... I feel like it just reached a fever pitch again at SNL's 30th anniversary. Like everybody thought he was going to... make an appearance, but more recently than that, no. You might have to update me.
Did you ever come across AndyKaufmanLives.com?
Yes, you sent it to me.
Did you take a gander through any of that?
Yes, but probably not as deeply as
it's,
you have.
Yeah, it's, I couldn't expect you to... It's like Encyclopedia Britannica's of
yeah.
information,
yeah,
you know, throughout all this time. So, I'm going to... Actually, you know what I'm going to do right now? I'm gonna play this thing by Alan Abel, and he's talking about when Kaufman, when Andy called him up, and he told him how he wanted to fake his death, because Alan Abel faked his death over a weekend,
right?
And that impressed him, and he decided to then try it himself. So I'm gonna play that little bit of him talking about it. Let's see if we can do this correctly here. Okay, we are not going to go to that. For some reason, it's not playing right now. What is going on with my equipment here? It's very strange. Oh, I see what happens. Okay, I see what's going on. Okay, here we go. Here we go.
Yes, we've been following you to see what you're up to. We saw that your SS number continues to be used. Have you been lying in your coffin? Or are you lying coughing? Were you relaxed somewhere while your wax hijinks hoaxed the favor? Did you read it all about the caper? To collaborate on the fate to place upon the human race, absurdly fun, so surreal that everyone would laugh and give right in with complete abandon, reaching into farm song.
Oh,
for you, all right?
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Bye.
Goodbye, everybody. Be good, and I love you very much. Okay, bye-bye. Okay, are we up here? Where is my hamburger? Who wants to answer? Come on. Who wants to answer?
Okay, that was Uncle Andy Lies. That's a song that I made up a while ago with this mystery of following AndyKaufmanLives.com and just going into this crazy rabbit hole. And so that little piece that you heard at the end there, that was Andy Kaufman from one of his specials that I threw in there. But that song is called Uncle Andy Lies. Now, this is what I want to say. So some of you folks who might be listening to this saw in the news at the Andy Kaufman Awards that his daughter came out on stage. Did you hear about this?
I did hear about this, yeah.
This woman right here, Alexandra, is that daughter.
Amazing.
She happened to be in town, right? The stars aligned. I already had this show planned. And I'm waiting for Jack Bristow to pop up. He was going to be like the main guest, you know? And then when I heard your podcast, you were on there, and I go, okay, cool. Let's coagulate that together. Let's get that involved. And all of a sudden, then I end up finding out through very mysterious circumstances, she was in town. And so I said, oh, God, I got to have Alexandra in the studio because this will explode all of our brains. We get to learn and talk about all this craziness. So let's see. Alexandra, what has many people are wondering, what's Andy been up to all these years?
Bad when people ask me to come on things and talk about my dad, because first of all, it's annoying forever being under his shadow. But I also don't have that much to say. I mean, he hangs around the house. He really likes cleaning. He likes, he takes care in all aspects of it. He wears really charming outfits. He lets my mom off the hook, you know, because she's the moneymaker in the family these days. And he makes sure that he's a cookie baker. He does secret experiments, I'm sure. He likes to walk around the neighborhood and try to keep New York like New York should be, you know, full of weirdos. And so his mumble game is really on point. He can mumble sort of the most beautiful intergalactic things, and that's how he gets his rocks off, you know. It's like the ultimate ceaseless New York performance piece because nobody recognizes him anymore, and he can just actually be kind of an annoying old guy on the street, which I think is what he always wanted to do. So everything's working out.
So do you feel that he's I can't imagine that from growing up in a family like this that hasn't somehow had some influence on you and the crazy characters that you play?
Well, definitely it's always felt very natural to me. Like when I was growing up, it was sort of like every day was a different accent, you know? Like, so it's given me a bit of confusion about my own identity. Like, right now, I can hear myself kind of starting to just talk like you because it was very confusing, you know? If you grow up with a dad who it's like he's giving you a bath and he's like, okay, here I give you the soap. Now we put the soap on our bodies. Scrub, scrub, scrub. It makes you very confused about who you are. Yeah, so definitely that makes it very natural to kind of always fully be in a different world, inside a different mind whenever you want to or need to.
Well, I must encourage you to be in your element more and more. I feel that like when we're encouraged to be in our elements more, like our true self shines. You know, when you're around the people who bring out those best qualities in you and you're like, okay, I just need an army of these kinds of people. I need to surround myself, coagulate myself with all this these kinds of people who are just like, yeah, like a volleyball game, right? Bop, bop, bop. We're all hitting it to each other.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, I think so, but I also think this idea of the true self is false. I think we have so many selves.
Yes.
I think we're crowded with selves, and usually we're told that we're supposed to just be one of them and talk like one of them and find
yes.
our true self, which I think is both offensive and not very fun.
Well, yeah, and you know what? And when you, like, because I know a lot of folks will just hold tight onto an identity. They want, they associate with something, and they're like, okay, this is me, this is what I do, ba ba ba. Well, what they're doing is they're sticking themselves in such a tiny little limited little shoebox of limitations that they're not allowing all these other amazing magical surprises to come into them. Have you ever thought about doing a oh boy, she's going to get very intelligent now. She just put on her glasses. And she sees me better, which is great. Maybe not hear me so well because I blasted her eardrums out earlier when the show first started.
I can't hear anything you're saying. I'm just using my psychic.
She's just a good lip reader.
Yes.
So, does Andy still do meditation? Does he still meditate?
Oh, yeah. I don't think that he could get through existence without that. Yeah. I hate meditation personally. You know, I think, like, when you see your dad just relying on what appears to be a rather silly activity of sitting by himself and mumbling a sacred mantra that he paid a lot of money for a long time ago. You know, I would rather just be in the thick of existential anxiety all of the time. That's kind of what drives me.
Yes.
But I think for him, it really helps. It helps calm him and sort of make it through the day in that, like, childlike zone of play and beauty and innocence that he's sort of always making work from, so... So, you know,
does he go
if
out
it
this,
ain't broke.
Does, I know, if it ain't broke. So you're saying that he looks different, right? Does he ever wear disguises out there into the populace?
Not in some way that would be obvious as a disguise, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think he would ever put on a fake mustache or wear, like, pasta on his head or something, because that would actually draw attention, and it's very exciting. The subtlety of it, I think, is very exciting to him.
Yes.
But definitely wacky eyewear.
Oh.
Yeah. I've seen him decorate with pipe cleaners.
Where does he put the pipe cleaners? Around the house?
You know, no, on the frames of the
house. Oh, decorate his frames.
Yeah, sort of like a whole garden. You know what I mean? Like twist.
Yeah.
And then you can
pipe cleaner garden.
Birds or flowers.
Sure.
Yeah.
So he attaches them on there.
Yeah.
So he has like a garden face.
A garden face.
No, that's good.
That's his
There's not enough of that.
We can just call him Daddy Garden Face. Garden Face Poppy. Yeah. It's really nice. It's very tender.
You know what'd be great is if, like, if you were to, like just for kicks, like, maybe put a little caterpillar on there or something.
A
just a little one. Piece of live nature
yeah,
in there.
Yeah, because the caterpillar does look like a pipe cleaner.
Yeah, so. It does. Oh, yeah. It'd be like camouflage. It'd be surprise people. Yeah. That one's moving.
Yeah.
Like, surprise, surprise. I got real Mother Nature on
I'll
my face.
I'll suggest that when I head back east. Maybe a whole bunch of caterpillars. Like, it was all moving and disturbing.
So you... Have you taken improv classes?
No.
You haven't taken any improv classes? You seem so sharp, like, so, like... And because the reviews that I've seen, like, any of the performances that you were doing, I mean, you were playing mud or dirt or something, right?
A mound.
You're playing a mound. Mm. You played some guy with a huge beard.
Dipple.
And what was his name?
Dipple.
Dipple?
Dipel.
Is he Russian?
No.
How does he talk?
He's Austrian.
Oh.
You should bring him on the show, but he gets paid more than I do, so you'd have to... How much are we talking here?
Gold bullions, hold on.
He's great. I mean, he's also a beautiful failure. He was a 17th century failed alchemist, sort of developed Dipple's oil, which was actually this poison, but it promised everlasting life. So he ended up killing quite a lot of people. And sometimes he'll come back when I do open mic nights and things, like sort of his eternal damnation punishment. He's forced to show up in these really depressing environments and tell his tale, but it's very magical, and he is quite bearded and large. Yeah.
What other interesting folks do you channel?
Well, to be honest, I used to be more into humans, but now I'm into objects and materials and things like that, so mostly I'm channeling, like, smoke detectors, metal bars, chain link bubble wrap, wires, bricks, fingernails. I've been having a lot of success with acrylic nails.
Oh. See, these are all rarities. I think this is the kind of comedy that people need to see.
Well, it's very serious. A lot of these objects are very upset. So you go into these dark, intense places because they've been neglected, misused.
Yeah.
I mean, how do we treat our things in late capitalist consumer society? We mistreat them. So when you give these objects the chance to speak, there's a lot of moaning. Sometimes there's primal screams.
Mm, yeah.
It's not funny. You know, it's not a funny situation.
I really want to know what makes acrylic nails angry.
Well, I've been experimenting a lot with
these acrylic nails painted with the American flag. And these nails are... Can I curse on your radio show? Mm-hmm. These nails are fucked up. These nails are fucked. I mean, they're shiny, they're hard, they're fake, they're artificial, they're desirous, they're bonkers. They're sort of put in the position, they're asocial. I mean, there's 10 of them, but they can't talk, they can't speak to each other. So they're in this kind of lonely Americana vortex where they can just sort of psychobabble about the sadness of being alive right now. Yeah.
I've always liked the word vortex. Anytime it can be slipped into something, I think it just enhances it all. It's like a crock pot. I just finally started using the crock pot, and it's magical. Where has this been my whole life? Where have I... It's probably asking that. Like, where have you been my whole life? And I'm using this crock pot now, and I'm like, holy cow. Like, I can put a thing in the morning, and I come back, and here's this thing ready. It's like having my own maid or cook there, right there at the house. It's crazy. So I feel like using the word like vortex, it's like putting that little spice into the crock pot that really that really makes it taste good.
Yeah, and how do you think the crock pot feels?
Oh, man.
I mean, it's so hot.
Yeah. Maybe that could be another character of yours to channel. The crock pot. Oh, crotchety. The crotchety pot. I'm going to go ahead and play... Crotch pot. Crotch pot cooking. I'm going to play this Alan Abel thing really, really quick, and then we're going to come back here, and hopefully we're not going to blow out anyone's eardrums.
Andy and I have been friends about a year, and prior to that time, and of course, he read the obituary, and he thought it was for real. He was very sad that day, and he was a little annoyed with me, too, when we talked a few days later after I surfaced, of course. And he said, Alan, he says, you know, I really heard, you know, I didn't even go to the taxi that day. I asked his day off, and of course, we don't tape until the end of the week, but I couldn't go in and just do a run-through. I felt so badly. But now he says, you son of a bitch, you're here, and I really hate you, but I love you, too. So he said, okay, Andy. Now he says, I want to know everything you did. So he queried me on the phone for probably an hour or two, a couple hours. But, well, why did you do this instead of that? Why did you go there and do that? Why did you do this? Why did you do that? I said, Andy, what is this? I mean, are you the district attorney? Come on. I'm tired. I said, my hand is falling asleep. And he said, well, change hands. I said, okay. So I changed hands on the phone. And he's calling me in Connecticut from California, of course. And he said, well, I'm going to be in New York next week. We'll talk. Okay. So he flew over the weekend to New York because he only had weekends off from his taping schedule. And we walked and talked. And again, it was all about how you pull this off. And my God, he was just flabbergasted that I got through the barbed wire and the moats, the sharks and alligators and electrified fences that the Times has around its coveted newspaper. But Andy, he was very fascinated by the idea. And I, when one of the things that I suddenly remembered, when Andy's parents were interviewed
Okay, folks, we are back. That was Alan Abel. He was talking about Andy Kaufman calling him up, asking about how he faked his death. Because that's what Alan Abel did back in the day. He was able to successfully fake his death for over a weekend. And then he kind of gave up. He just kind of said, okay, you know, it was all just a big joke. But then Andy got a hold of him. And they talked for many, 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 many hours about how all the details of what goes into putting this thing together. Now, Lindsay, on that podcast, you mentioned something about a Hollywood guru. Can you please tell everybody this story?
I used to work for an astrologer to the stars here in Los Angeles, whose name I can't say for fear of being struck down cosmically and or being sued, but he was an astrologer for Michael Jackson when Michael Jackson was alive. He's still Tina Turner's astrologer. He's Katy Perry's astrologer. If you kind of just need to know what's happening in your charts and your stars, he's like the guy you go to. And while I was working for him, part of my job was like organizing everyone's charts and making sure everything was organized, and I found Andy Kaufman's chart. And it was very exciting, and I, like, learned the very basics of reading charts when I worked there. And on his chart, in the time, in the ages that he was supposedly going through not feeling well, and in the time that he faked his death, like, there was nothing in his chart to show that he would have been ill in any way. So it was very fascinating to discover that, and it was amazing to touch his chart, and I don't know if he had seen the astrologer himself or his girlfriend. I know did use him, so his chart may have just been there because his girlfriend was really into the astrologer. But you know, it's still there, so the astrologer is still using his chart for some purpose, possibly to help him make a comeback. I don't know, maybe. You can shine some light on that situation for us.
What do you know about this chart? Do you know anything about this chart?
No.
Alexander?
I know nothing about the chart.
No? So he so you said you have a friend who's like a mystical you have a mystical Jew.
Yeah.
He can conjure things? Can he conjure things?
He's just really in tune.
So having said that, and now we got this chart that you discovered. Your dad is not involved with these kind of cosmic things anymore?
I think at various times in his life he has drawn upon different sort of spheres of knowledge and wisdom, and they energize and inspire him. I wouldn't say astrology is his main bag right now. But, no, honestly, I'm really sorry. I was looking at this woman here with a mustache drawn on her during part of your story. but where can the chart be found?
The chart can be found with an astrologer here in Los Angeles. So it may have been when he was more hanging out here, or it may have just been that his girlfriend at the time. His long-term girlfriend, so I'm not sure is your mom or not. I'm not sure who your mom is, but his long-term girlfriend.
Lynn is not my mom.
Okay. She, I
In
believe,
fact, Lynn and I don't even friend. Get along at all. Anyway.
Did it look old? Did it look like an old chart?
It definitely looks well-worn, as in somebody is still reading this chart on a regular basis.
Mm.
So are these people given the chart to go home with, or do they have to go to the office to look at it?
He's a very expensive astrologer, like $250 an hour. So if you want a copy of your chart, you can have one. But the astrologer keeps everyone's charts as well.
Yeah. Well, that explains it, because if he's still having consultations with this person, neither I nor my mom would know about it, because he's gotten in trouble with this sort of behavior in the past, like really, really expensive phone psychics and things like that. But they're insanely expensive. My mom is much more like a rationalist. So anything he would be doing with this secret man you know in L.A. would definitely be kept from the family. So I'm sorry, I can't shed more light on it.
Does he have any plans on getting up on a stage again?
He He feels like the world is his stage, so he doesn't need to go on a real stage.
That's
because
good.
It's actually quite limiting. I mean, a real stage is small, you know, it's a stage.
There's very tiny
edges to it. But the sidewalk is very big. So not that I know of. I mean, think about it. Anything he could do at this point would be lame. Like, if he appeared at some kind of event, great, big whoop, another media cycle, and then the whole mystery is done and gone, and in a way, that's the real death. But if he just hangs out and does weird things day in and day out, and maybe sometimes people catch glimpses of him, that's real immortality, you know? That's the piece. So I don't think he's coming back. I'm sorry, folks.
I always had this idea that maybe he was abducted by aliens and he's just been, like, being held up there for a while, perhaps even cryogenically frozen, but these are not the cases, as he puts gardens on his glasses and such. So, who knows? Maybe he learned it from the aliens. Did either of you two ever hear Kaufman himself talking with Zamuda about the idea of faking his death? Did you ever hear that recording? It came out on a album. Lynn Margulies helped put it out, and she had all of these recordings, just like tons, like 80 hours worth of recordings. So she was able to somehow whittle it down to maybe, I don't know, 13 different little pieces of recordings that he had, these little micro, like little micro recorders, and she made a CD out of it, and it was called Andy and His Grandmother. So it was just him walking around interviewing people and stuff. But this little piece is on there. This is like, if there's like a smoking gun, this is a good piece of evidence here where he himself is talking to Zamuda on the phone about doing it. So I'm going to play that right now because I think it would be fun to hear.
Your fun fact, foot binding was a tradition in Chinese cultures meant to limit the growth of women's feet. The idea was that women with smaller feet were considered to be more beautiful and feminine. Stay tuned to Inspirato Projecto for more fun facts.
Okay, we are back. You just heard a little giblet of Bob Zamuda, Andy Kaufman, talking about him faking his death, laughing about this. No one ever expected that to show up. After all this time of people talking about him faking his death and pulling off the world's greatest illusion, like, no one would have expected that to surface out of the ether. from history and bubble its way to the surface. But here it is, and we get to hear this right now. Oh, yes. This is one of the things, is that, as you well know, Alexandra, his Social Security number is still active. So there's that thing called the death index. And so if you type in anyone's Social Security number, it comes up, like, whether you're living or dead. So his doesn't come up dead at all. Like, it's still being used. It's very interesting when you look at all these little things, like between Alan Abel with the... And then the caskets. It's so crazy. There's that blue casket. You always see that little picture of this blue casket. And then there's a documentary called The Death of Andy Kaufman, which was all researching Stephen Maddox and AndyKaufmanLives.com and all that stuff. And there's a little shot in there where you see the parents coming out of the funeral home. But they don't look sad or anything. They just look like they're sort of bewildered. And then you see a brown casket out there. So it's kind of interesting. It's like, okay, we see the blue one in the photos all the time, but then you see in the video this brown casket. So then you're going, okay, now wait a second. Which one was he in? You know, and was it actually an open casket or was it not an open casket? And then, of course, then there's that drug like the, which they talk about in the book, like the Romeo and Juliet drug, right? Where you fall asleep, but you're almost kind of dead, right? And then I guess they give you another drug to wake you up out of it, adrenaline shot or something. So you said that you took improv classes and stuff, right?
Yeah, I have.
So
many.
What different places have you studied at?
UCB, Iowa West, and Nerdist. I love the improvs.
People I find who are involved with this kind of, and you were saying that you never, Alexandra, you never took any improv classes. Somehow she's like,
some people,
she's
just
a
got
natural
it.
At
they
it.
Just
yeah.
Got it.
That's what's interesting. Like, I think the thing is like, people who are very good at taking the vibe that you give them and then them being able to constructing something out of it and them to be able to just do that, like, and not come at you with a competitive edge where they're going, oh, no, that's stupid. Like, what I have to say is actually funnier. But when they take what you're giving them and they go, yes, and here you go. And I always call it, I always use the analogy like the Scooby-Doo sandwich. You know, in Scooby-Doo, they're both building this amazing concoction, and neither one of them says no more cheese, no more ham, no more peanut butter or whatever. They're like, yes, more, and while we're at it, let's throw a scoop of ice cream on there. So it builds and builds and builds, right? That's what I feel is the true improv spirit, and it's so awesome when you get into that groove, right? And you feel that everyone's up on stage, it's an ensemble, and it's give and take. People hop in and they say what they're doing, and you kind of know when it's going to kind of peter off, and you go, all right, now I'm going to add to it. It's such a like a good feeling when you can kind of tune into that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. If you're trying to be the best on an improv team, your improv team is going to fail for sure.
The cool thing was I played at the top of the hour this. Have you heard of Sheldon Patinkin? Do you know who Sheldon Patinkin is?
Yeah, uh-huh.
So he was the artistic director of Second City and also of Columbia College, which is where I went to college. So he was like my mentor in teaching me everything that I needed to know about improvisation and ensemble work and give and take. And he was one of the original Compass players. Violas Bolin taught him, and he went off and, you know, so he knows all these people from Saturday Night Live and Second City, all this craziness. So one day I called him up. He's dead now, unfortunately, but one day I called him up and I said, have you ever met Andy Kaufman? And this was around the time that I had started reading, which Zemuda book? It was Andy Kaufman Revealed. That's what it was. Andy Kaufman Revealed, and then I read Bill Zemi's book. And, like, after reading that, I said, okay, maybe Sheldon has met him at some point. So at the end of this, I'll let you listen to that, what he left for me on the voicemail. But it's just so kick-ass to know, when you're in the know of improv and you're, because you can find the other people, right? You can tell those who are kind of in that state of mind. And even if they're not improv trained, you can still see that there's someone that you could keep around with. You could actually go, okay, let's form an improv group together. You know, these are all good minds that all kind of keep the ball up in the air. Oh God, it's 1:52. So, okay. Andy Kaufman. There's a movie that's out called Kaufman Lives. It's a documentary that's all about this stuff. Alexandra was interviewed for it. I was interviewed for it. My buddy Jack, who I think, he was interviewed too. And then is because of this, Well, actually, before that, actually, how we were found was following AndyKaufmanLives.com. And then Stephen Maddox, I ended up finding out, like, the guy who ran the site, he told me the big story of how it all happened, which varies a little different than what Bob Zmuda says. And then, as a result of that, he put my name and Jack Bristow's name and a few other people that he divulged this information to. He put our Twitter accounts up on AndyKaufmanLives.com, and that's all that was up there. So that I was contacted by a reporter from Huffington Post, and so was Jack, and so was a few of these other people. So they interviewed us, and it was because of that, these guys out in the UK read that, and they said, oh, my gosh, this is going to be our next documentary. And so they flew out here, and they interviewed me, and they interviewed some folks, and it was awesome that they flew out and they interviewed you. And I also noticed, were you interviewed for a documentary called Cough Mania? Did someone interview you about that?
Maybe. Honestly, I don't remember. So many people have wanted to know about my dad, obviously. I don't actually remember who talked to me or when or where. But perhaps.
Well, your list on IMDb has been in a movie called Cough Mania, so...
Oh, really? Yeah. I didn't even know I had IMDb.
That's right.
So strange. The internet decided I was an actress, and I'm just going with it.
That's right.
Cool.
Yeah. But yeah, it lists you in there, and so just so you know, if someone's like, I saw you in those movies, you're like, what? What happened?
It wasn't me.
So it looks
did
like,
you like them? Did you have fun with them?
Looks like Jack is not
people
gonna...
who came out. Where's Jack? Who is Jack?
He might as well be a myth at this moment. Yeah. Like, yeah, we hear this, like, it's like hearing about Jabba the Hutt in the first Star Wars films. And you're like, who's this Jabba the Hutt dude?
You know, I dressed up as him for Halloween.
Wait, who did?
Me.
You dressed up as Jabba the Hutt?
I did the best Jabba that's ever been done, I'm sure.
I bet. So how did you actually move?
I put a boyfriend pillow, you know, the one that's like that, on top of my head, and I painted Jabba's face on it, and then I couldn't see or breathe, really, but there was a little tiny hole, like a little tiny air hole where my tongue could stick in and out, and it was so hot under there, because, of course, I had, like, layers and layers and layers that I could be really, really fat and slimy, that the tongue and my hot breath made the entire pillow and the rest of my costume, like, stained with kind of goozing sweat and saliva. So it was really effective. And I entered with my best friend Lila, who's also a mystical Jew, chained to me in, like, a beautiful gown,
wow.
You know, as my Leia or whatever. I've never seen Star Wars, but I hear it was really successful.
That's incredible. You've never seen Star Wars?
No, I don't really watch
So you just became Jabba the Hutt, like, just out of pictures?
Someone suggested that you know, I Google imaged. Yeah.
You're like, that's the dude I need to be. That's it right there.
Right? So much power.
And so much slowness if you put too many pillows on, right? Like,
right. Which is really, we should all slow down.
Yeah. Hey, hold off. Slow down a little bit. Put another pillow on you, will you? You're going a little too fast, kid.
That's a bumper sticker I'd buy. Put another pillow on you, would you?
That's right.
Wowie, big things happen today here at Cape
And then you fall, you can fall asleep anywhere, which is also the extra added bonus, right?
Oh, yeah. That's why I like really big coats with really big hoods, because you can just, like, flop over.
Mm-hmm.
It's good if you're homeless.
It's kind of like a one-person tent, too. It's like a very, very tight-fitting.
Yeah, that's true. For all yourselves.
One person.
You can just do
for all yourselves. They all fit right in there.
In your tent and be really entertained all night.
I'm camping out. Okay, good night.
Good night.
All right, folks, I'm going to play this fun little... This is Kaufman singing some Elvis, and it was on his show. And we'll hear... in the beginning, we'll hear little Tony. First, I got to play this. This is a fun fact. This is a fun fact from Henry D. Horace. And then we're going to jump right into Andy Kaufman singing Elvis.
Here's your fun fact. Bears do not urinate while they hibernate. Their bodies convert urine into protein and use it as food. Stay tuned to Inspirato Projecto for more fun facts.
Hey, Baloney, that's right. Hey, Kaufman, why don't you do something?
Well, what do you want me to do?
Well, I've seen you do the Elvis Presley imitation. Why don't you do that? That's great. Come on.
Well, I don't know. I don't have the costume on.
Come on. Hey, everybody, you want to do it?
Well, Okay, I'll tell you what, Tony. It'll take me a while to, you know, I'll just have to get dressed, put on the costume, okay?
Oh, yeah, oh, that's all right. I'll tell you what, I'll hold the fort while you're gone. And you hurry back, all right?
Okay, okay, thank you.
Oh, what took you so long? Okay, listen, Coffin, why don't you go over there and get set up, okay? Go on, I'll take over for while you're getting set up. Okay, go on, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to present to you right now, doing his world famous Elvis Presley impersonation, here he is, Andy Kaufman!
Back, folks. It's funny. The guests who are in here usually they have no idea when we're back on here and stuff. Like, so it's like this big surprise. Like, people are having these great deep conversations, and all of a sudden I swoop and I go, "All right, and we're back, everyone." And then and like, "Oh gosh, oh geez, here we are." So okay, so
we have interrupted really deep conversations.
Well, like this is. Well, I'm not. You know, I mean, show must go on. So what? Keep it hopping. So, it's not my intention to, like, stomp out anyone when they're in the midst of, like, lightning.
Very clear, sir. Very clear.
Okay, having said that, we're going to go right to this song. So what's your next thing that you're going to be working on, Alexandra? Like, where are you going to be that people can see you or find you?
Talk at a translation conference in Oakland. I'll be doing
Friday
morning at 9 a.m.
Oh.
Then I'll be going east for a little bit, and then I'll be coming back and doing some shows in San Francisco. But honestly, I don't have any of the details, so I can't tell you. Google me. Actually, you could probably go to tartar.biz, and I'll try to put the dates up there because I never update my website. But maybe this is good motivation.
That's good. That's good. Where will you be? You're saying you're taking a lot of classes, Lindsay, so that's where you're going to be mostly performing?
I'm going to be at I.O. on Tuesdays starting next Tuesday. I don't know the date, but next Tuesday, playing with the pool at I.O. West, and then I'm making a film next year called Super Slut, so hopefully next year you can see it.
Super Slut?
Super Slut, yeah.
Did you write this?
I wrote this, yeah. It's about a young woman selling her virginity to get back at her ex-boyfriend. So it starts out as a revenge, ends up as, like, a women's rights anthem.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is this a feature film?
It's a feature film, yeah. Making it in conjunction with Super Gravity. So, next year, hopefully.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, do you have a Kickstarter? You have some page where you can try to raise money on this?
No, Super Gravity is a real production company, so we don't have to have a Kickstarter, which is amazing.
So, how are you? That's fantastic.
Thank you, Super Gravity, my my lovely friends.
So what? So who? How is this? Where's the funding coming from?
Well, right now we're having some lovely, famous actresses read the scripts. Nobody is full on committed, so I can't say who the lead is going to be yet. But our goal is like January, February shoot. So I think it'll be out next year or the following, since movies take a long time to make. So
that's cool. Yeah. It's always admirable. I always admire the people who are go-getters, who just follow the calling. You know, they have this vibe, this calling, and they're like, okay, I'm walking in this direction. And sooner or later, I just realized that, like, the more that you just keep walking in that direction, sooner or later you're going to come to the epicenter of that pure sound, where it's coming from. So it's not necessarily like a battle of, like, Alexandra, you talk about this Rock Riddle thing where, like, actors are crying and it's all desperate and sad. And it's,
sorry,
and
you're this, listening
it's
actors,
so difficult.
But you did seem like you were crying.
Where these people talk about how difficult it is, to do anything.
It is difficult to do anything. Yeah.
Especially if you're a mound.
A mound, a mime, an actor in LA. Yeah, it's all difficult. Wait, what was the question?
Oh, I was just talking about, like, following a calling versus actually fighting through, like this desperation aspect of, like, having to fight your way uphill to try to get what you want to get done.
Well, yeah, it seems that some people feel like they have a calling to, like, do Samsung commercials or something. So they're really devastated when they just keep going out for the Samsung commercial and they just keep not getting it. But I admire that they keep going.
Can you just talk a little bit more into the microphone for me? Every piece of information you say
is
another
pearl
of wisdom. Oh, wait, go ahead. Say it again. Go ahead.
Have you found your calling, Kurt?
Oh, there it is. Oh, yeah.
Right here. There it is.
This is one of them. And then that one's one of them. No, yeah, this radio station is probably one of them.
Cool.
Yeah.
And you found yours?
I mean, life's a journey. I feel like we have, like, a couple different callings, like, in our whole journey of life. But, I mean, to, like, circle all the way back to Andy, I feel like he was a guy, like, if you build it, they will come. Like, if you're out there searching, it's tougher than if you're just like, I'm going to put my voice out there because I know my voice is strong. And if your voice is strong enough, people will find you. That's my perspective. Yeah.
I think a lot of it has to do with authenticity, too. And sometimes just being nice to people is really good.
That's exactly what Rock Riddle said. That was one of Rock Riddle's main pieces of advice. He said, sometimes you got
to
just be nice. And if people realize that they like you and they like having you around, they will have you say, hey, come on my set for 5 days. You know, I need a driver. And all the actors cried and took notes in their notebook.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
That's how you start, man. You know, the first thing I got to do is learn how to drive. Then I could get work in Hollywood. Right?
You can make your round without a car. I do all the time. I took a train to get here today.
But not if I'm trying to get work as the driver.
Oh, work as the driver. That's true. I see what you mean. Yeah.
But you're right. Otherwise,
yeah,
I could just...
Yeah, you wouldn't get much training in if you were just
everywhere.
Taking buses ever. I'll be your driver. Hold on, let me take the subway to get to you. So
we just keep talking until the next joke comes in?
I guess so.
Oh,
I don't know. I don't know where this. Yeah, I don't know where these people are. I'm gonna do a test. I'm just gonna this mysterious Jack that we've been hearing so much about.
Yeah, mystery Jack.
Oh, what? The internet is a little funky here. Huh. That's intriguing. All right, we're just gonna hang up. What is this here? Oh. Just when I think I'm organized, sometimes a typo will throw me off. Most of these start out Andy Kaufman something, so it's a guess as to, like, what the rest of the... Oh, here we go. All right. I'm going to play this fun song. This is by Andy Kaufman. I don't know if this is an old song or if this is something that he just made up or what, but I think you just might enjoy it.
And I hope to see you again soon, and I love you, and thank you very much. Now, till we meet again. Well, it's time to say goodbye. It's been good having you so near. Although I've got to leave, it's the end. I'll always be staying right here. So, my friends, goodbye. It's just another time. Wish that I could do just one more song for you. Goodbye, everybody. Thank you. Good night. Okay. Great. Good night. I love you. Okay. Okay. Boy.
Here's your fun fact. Why does my penis shrink when I exercise? When you hit it hard at the gym, all of those muscles swell 15 to 20 times more blood than they have when they're at rest, says exercise physiologist. The blood has to come from somewhere, so parts of the body not directly involved with the effort give up their share, including tissues like your penis. And stay tuned to Inspirato Projecto for more fun facts.
That was another fun fact by Henry D. Horace. And also before that, one more song for you. I think that was the name of the song by Andy Kaufman. I'm pretty sure that was the song. So, Alexandra, I wanted to ask you, when you first heard about the awards, did you just surprise them when you showed up, or did Michael know that you were going to be there? Like, did he? Because like, he was talking about the note that that he was given, and it was from Andy, telling him that like he would contact him in 1999 or something. I don't know much about that note, and he's only read pieces of it on the news. But he was talking about that note, and then you popped up on stage. Did you know beforehand that you're going to be there, or was it like, I hope that she's going to be here, and that would be great if she was here? How did that work out?
I actually have no idea. The whole thing is rather mysterious to me as well, because I didn't know what I was getting myself into at all. Basically, a couple days before the awards, I think, I got a call that said, hello, may I please speak to Andy's daughter? Is Andy's daughter there? And I said, yes, speaking. And they said, wow, great, amazing. Would you be available in a couple days to come by the awards show? Just, you don't have to drag your dad along, but just let people know that he's alive, that he's well, that, you know, his father had just passed away, and he'd been feeling obviously really sad to, you know, the keeping up the illusion of being dead takes its toll on you because you actually can't be communicating with your family and with your fans and with your friends. And so so the person on the phone just said, would you come by and just let his fans and Michael, his family, know that he's okay and he's thinking of them. That's it. And I was like, is there anything else I should know? You just want me to come and let them know that? And they're like, yeah, just come by. We'd really appreciate it. So I did. And that's it. I went by. I had no idea what was going on. I had never met Michael before, so it was really bizarre for me to sort of meet my uncle for the first time in this really public context with him feeling really emotional because his father had just passed away, and he was, you know, he thought that I was hoaxing him.
in the moment, it was just kind of so intense and emotional, obviously, that it didn't feel aggressive or weird. It was just quite strange and touching. And especially, I think, being surrounded by so many of his fans, it was actually a really warm environment to share that. But pretty much after that, the high of that information wore off, people, including Michael, I think, started to think, like, what the fuck was that? And who the fuck set that up, you know? And that put me in a really weird position because I was like, I was just coming to share a message, you know? But anyway, that's all I know. Michael and I have since become very good friends and tried to, like, create the relationship that neither of us had before. So that's been really lovely. But before that, we didn't know each other.
I guess they're not having an Andy Kaufman Awards this year. I think they're having one next year. But do you view any plans on showing up to any future ones at all to be, like, to perform?
No, I don't have much more to offer at this point, I think, in that regard. It's like I do my own work. Obviously, my dad was really influential, but he's just my dad. I don't even think he's that funny. I mean, I liked when he had snot on his face on the Letterman show or whatever. I thought that was funny, but that's because it's funny to see your dad with snot on his face on TV. So I don't want everything I do to be linked to him and his legacy. It's like that's what the children of stars always have this issue.
Yes.
So I don't think I'm going to be, for the rest of my life, appearing at Andy Kaufman Awards. No, I think that was the one and only time.
That's good. Like an earthquake. Now we're just kind of feeling the aftershocks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is crazy, because there is supposed to be an earthquake, they say, during this week or something.
Yeah, right now.
Maybe this radio shows the earthquake they're prophesying without realizing it. Can you imagine all the repercussions that may happen? After people listen to this, like, wait a second, they'll start listening for clues. They'll start playing it backwards on their record players, listening for backmasking.
I look forward to getting even more hate mail. I really like the ones from Christian Andy Kaufman fans telling me I'm going to burn in hell for lying about my dad.
Oh,
yeah, and I'm not nearly as funny as him, and I should just, like, go kill myself and go to hell faster.
Oh, gosh, wow.
Like, who knew Andy had such moral Christian
P.S. fans? Jesus loves you. Boy, oh boy.
Yeah, no. This might be the last time I talk about it. I'm ready to move on. At Rock Riddle's acting class, someone came up to me afterwards and was like, you know, thank you for coming to talk to us. You're not as special as your dad, but you do have something.
Oh, my God.
I was like, okay, you know what? I'm done. I'm trying to be nice to you people, but this is my life. I don't do everything because of, you know, having grown up with Andy. It's like, enough is enough.
So they had you actually speak there at this thing?
They had me come talk about what it was like being a pro performer, you know, how to work on getting yourself out there and the things that they try to teach people. So yeah, I did a bunch of exercises and weird things with the sad actors, but Rock felt really connected to Andy. I think they never met, but they had plans to meet, and then Andy quote unquote died. So Rock was pretty worked up about the whole thing, and that was definitely in the room, you know.
It's interesting when you go to those, like, casting directing workshops and things like that. I start getting really itchy and just feeling that desperation from all these people. And it's, that's why I don't go to them anymore. It's just that vibe of, like, all this sadness around them. They've been programmed and taught all this very negative and pessimistic, like, wah, kind of information, right? And they carry it around with them wherever they're going. Ooh, man. Have you always lived out here, Lindsay? Or did you move out here from somewhere?
I moved here from the great state of Florida. A very strange place. So it's fitting that I moved to Los Angeles, another very strange place. But I like LA's strangeness a lot, so I'm still here. I've been here 13 years. But yeah, I used to do those commercial auditions where you have to, like, eat yogurt and smile.
Mm-hmm.
That make life really meaningless. But I don't do them anymore. Either. I don't do that anymore. But I like performing, so I still do that, and I try and write myself into my own stuff, but...
I think that's the key to it, is creating your own stuff.
Yeah.
Carving your own reality, so
exactly.
to speak.
Exactly, yeah.
It's amazing when you have that determination to just simply be what you are. Determination to just be what you are, right?
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter how many identities there are that involves. It could be... a mound, it could be a garden face, it could be any number of things, a crying acrylic nails. It could be any number of things. And the fact that you just let those things have a voice, I think, is important. The fact that you just kind of let them be what they are. Because who the heck else is going to think of that?
That's exactly what I tried to tell the SAD actors. I said, you know, you guys just have to write your own story and do what you actually want to do, which I hope is not ultimately a Samsung commercial. And, you know, I've been touring around the country doing my one-woman adaptation of Goethe's Wilhelm Meister's Apprenticeship, and that's my most successful show. You know, it's all about this young German boy who desperately wants to be in the theater and is a failure and kind of stays in his room making these really sad little plays and then performs them and realizes once the audience comes that he forgot to write the play. He was just in his room, like, thinking how nice it would be if he were to write a play. So, you know, you wouldn't... And then I ask people, who here is a fan of Wilhelm Meister's Apprenticeship? You know? No one. And yet...
I don't even know who they are,
yet,
who this guy is.
Box office hit, baby. So you don't give up.
Are people inviting you to put this show out there? Or, like, are they inviting you to go places? Or are you finding places to go to?
No, I don't go anywhere unless I'm invited.
Oh.
No. Yeah. Invitation only. I mean, it could be bars, theaters, galleries, big spaces, small spaces. But the ones that pay the best are, like, eccentric rich people's mansions where they bring together a bunch of their, like, influential friends. Like, once I performed my adaptation of Goethe's Wilhelm Meister's Apprenticeship for a crowd that included the guy who discovered black holes exist.
Oh my god!
And those guys pay the best, let me tell you.
That's astounding. Performing for quantum physicists and discoverers of the cosmos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you think... If I can just influence one astrophysicist, my work here is done.
That's right. So do they then ask you for acting tips after you perform for them?
No, they don't care.
Oh. So like, I'm getting this image that you're up there, like, doing this thing, and they're just off, like, having their cocktail party. Like, you're just sort of, like, an extra thing that happens to be going on, or are they, like, watching you?
I make them sit down.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Oh, that's good.
I'm not just, like, the bard in the
background
of their cocktail party.
That's great.
Although I appreciate that image, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I might have to go kind of soon to work on my mime talk.
Oh, God, yeah. No, that's fine. No, it's 2:20 right now. So, actually, we can end the show right now if we want.
Do you have another juicy Andy track?
I might.
Maybe you just tell us who acrylic nails are going to vote for. You can just, like, end on that.
Acrylic nails are voting for Trump, but you should not.
Wow. No, I think you know what? I can go to YouTube. I'll go to YouTube, and I'll find a juicy little Andy Kaufman giblet. We just don't have the internet at this moment. But the good news is, I do have this fun little thing to play.
The human system. Bringing humanity back to the workplace. Here at the Human System, our vision is to help the humans be more productive, motivated, and energized while at work. We want to affect the world with positivity, productivity, and fun.
What we do.
Create lasting change.
Teach accountability.
Performance metrics.
Showing appreciation.
Innovation and brainstorming.
Getting comfortable being uncomfortable.
Getting comfortable being uncomfortable.
Leadership training.
Improvisation workshops.
Building trust.
Listening and communication.
Strategic planning.
We are all humans.
We are all humans.
With over 20 years of experience, the Human System will cater its approach to bring out the best in your workforce and deliver measurable results.
Contact us to learn how your organization, company, or small business can benefit from the Human System.
Dial 1-234-56-HUMAN or email us at thsworkshops@gmail.com.
We are all humans.
Thank you.
attention filmmakers, producers, and screenwriters. The inaugural Power Galactic Film Festival is now accepting submissions from all movie genres. This is your chance to see your feature, short, music video, web series, or trailer playing at the Dos Lagos Luxury 15 Theater in Corona, California during the first annual Kapow Intergalactic Film Festival, October 6th through 9th, with a portion of the proceeds benefiting the Wayne Foundation. Visit kapowiff.com for more information on how to submit your project. That's kapowiff.com.
We're back. We're talking about how to start doing radio shows here. Basically, if you go to kchungradio.org, let's say some of you folks back home who are listening to this right now, let's say you want to do a radio show on here. Go to kchungradio.org, and then you'll see the big K-Chung symbol, and you click on that, and then it'll show you a bunch of things at the top of the website, and there's one that says participate. You click on that, and then it gives you like a bunch of questions about how you want to participate, and they'll just start sending you, like, they'll put you on the sub list, and then if someone has like a show that they can't show up to or something, they'll go, okay, hey, sub list, whoever's looking at this right now, are you able to come in? A lot of times it's a last second, you know, like, oh, tomorrow or tonight or, you know, whatever. So that's how I started out, just doing that. And then after a while, I was contacted by Don, and who helps kind of put the schedule together. And he goes, hey, do you want like a regular show? You know, what days are you available? What times? And so I said Mondays would be great because everyone hates Mondays. I would like to like bring something nice to Monday. And then like one to two. And so every other Monday now I have this. So I think the thing is yeah, just start off as a sub, and then before you know it, you know, someone sooner or later will ask if you want to have your own show. And especially if you're someone who keeps showing up and doesn't blow it off or, like, treat it like it's, I don't know, this is, like, I love this creative atmosphere. The fact that this thing even exists is so kick-ass to me, you know? The fact that there's so many cool people who work for this, who work along with this. There was a K-Chung, they called it the Chillin' Grill. And so I got to meet all these DJs that I never met before. And then have them on the, you know, we broadcasted live there because they brought along this mobile transmitter. And so there, if you tuned into, this is K-Chung, this is 1630 AM, but when it was the mobile transmitter, it was 1620, since this was taking up that space. So we were broadcasting live, just from this barbecue. It was so kick-ass, and just interviewing these different people, and just seeing what they're up to, and, yeah, I think you'd have a blast. Just knowing that you could do whatever, I mean, you could do whatever you want. It's crazy. It's like being in the movie Pump Up the Volume, only there's no FCC coming around and chasing you. And they also have meetings every once in a while. All right, so yeah, I think we're gonna skedaddle. This is the end of the program. Are there any last things you'd like to say, Alexandra? Any interesting things? Any final notes? Let's direct people to your website again, at least, even though it's not updated.
Tartar.biz. Except I think it's tar-tar.biz.
Ooh. Okay. Wait. Hold on. I'm gonna put a little soundtrack music behind you while you say that. Okay. So go ahead. Say that.
Tartar.biz. Tartar.biz. Tar-tar.biz. Not dash like D-A-S-H, but just dash like a dash. Tar-tar.biz. T-A-R-T-A-R.B-I-Z. Tartar.biz.
And your wisdom is sticky like tar. I'm sure you've heard that. Are there any final things you'd like to say?
I prefer tar, like tartar.
I'm just so glad you brought us together, and I'm like super psyched I got to meet Alexandra. This is amazing.
Oh, Sam, I'm so glad I got to meet you too. This is other guy in the studio who doesn't say anything, but he seems really cool too.
He is.
He's just on a sweatshirt.
He's holding us on the ocean right now. He's keeping us from sinking, despite our best efforts.
Thank you, Internet.
So, everybody, thank you so much for, well, all you at-home viewers, thank you for listening. And ladies, thank you so much for coming in and spending your time here. Okay. All right. So, having said that, I'm going to play the old-fashioned station identification thing here, and then we're gonna skedaddle.